mileage can have a significant impact on the total emissions per vehicle kilometer, as a higher total mileage would give lower emissions per vehicle kilometer. Next slide. So from the review of different parameters between these studies, also the assumptions on the grid intensity were also quite important. Outlined here are different grid intensities from the studies analyzed for 2020 to 2021. So I would like to make a few caveats. First, that grid intensities can change over the lifetime of the vehicle, as mentioned before in some previous presentations. So generally, they are become more or less carbon intensive over time. Therefore, these values represent current grid mixes with most studies, except for Volvo, which is not shown here. Also, the grid intensities shown here are not all inclusive of all the different scenarios, as they are meant to represent what was presented as the current grid mix for that particular region. Many, if not most, of the studies presented scenarios depicting the rate of decarbonization of the grid over a certain time period, such as Ricardo and ICCT. But in addition, studies such as Ricardo and ICCT and GREET present different regions, such as individual countries and member states. Finally, I've attempted to highlight most of the areas where plant emissions were shown in the overall grid infrastructure, grid intensity mix, and that's highlighted in the picture and the diagram as well. So as can be seen, there are a wide range of grid intensities across the studies. While most straightforward reason is a difference in the scope of regions that were analyzed, there were also differences noted for different studies that looked at similar regions. For example, MIT's grid mix was a bit higher for the US compared to some of the GREET studies. This could be because of the timing of the data pulled, but also because of infrastructure emissions as well. Other notable differences include the EU grid mix from the Ricardo study versus ICCT. And this, again, as I might hypothesize this, and it's not concrete, but it could be also in reference to the time frame within which the data was pulled. If it's older, it may have a higher grid intensity. So also, while the total lifetime vehicle kilometers and grid intensity and technology mix were very important, there were also other important factors. So for instance, the drive cycle used for different studies is worth mentioning. So these were mainly determined using drive cycles for the respective regions being analyzed. Differences in assumptions were, you know, related to energy consumption and urban and highway driving. And there were also real world adjustment factors made, such as for Ricardo and ICCT. Other aspects that were briefly mentioned in the previous slide include databases and models that were collected to use the data. This includes common sources such as EcoInvent, GREET, and GABI, but also include EC, European Commission modeling databases, and IPCC data, as well as public manufacturing data. Interestingly, Volvo was the only OEM and therefore pulled from its own manufacturing data for vehicle and battery production in different regions. Finally, an important note is the difference in battery capacities that were noted in 2020 that indicate, even though I looked at mainly the same vehicle class size, which is mid-sized passenger cars, there were significant variations aside from Volvo. And this predominantly had an impact on the emissions that were related to the battery production and the heavier weight of the battery. Though in the overall scheme, this impact was not as significant compared to, for example, the grid intensity. So finally, here's the summary of the different grams CO2 equivalent per vehicle kilometer emissions that were noted. But you can see that the greatest variability with battery electric vehicles compared to what were for battery electric vehicles compared to its ICE equivalents. This was due to several factors, predominantly related to the grid intensity of the vehicle, but also due to its battery capacity and range, model type and assumptions around recycled material credits. So the most notable difference can be seen due to variations in vehicle kilometers, as noted in the previous slide. MIT saw a wide range in its battery electric vehicles, but also had the widest range in its ICE equivalents as well. And this was because of the wide range of vehicle models it looked at, in particular for ICEs in the US. So this included mid-sized cars of all types, including those with powerful engines and higher fuel consumption, as well as smaller and less powerful engines as well. While the ICE CO2 emissions per vehicle kilometer were also impacted by the second highest vehicle kilometers for the US, this could have been overtaken by the higher powered cars, as just mentioned. The higher vehicle kilometer impact, though, can be seen in its comparatively lower battery electric vehicle emissions. For Ricardo, it had some of the highest variances in battery electric vehicles, and this was likely due to the large range of grid mix intensities over time between different countries in the EU27 and the UK. Look, for example, Sweden had almost 20 times higher grid mix than, 20 times lower grid mix than Estonia, sorry. And while the ICCT paper had a smaller and lower range of battery electric vehicle emission values, it was still within the range of Ricardo and others. And this is likely due to lower grid regional intensities for regions such as the EU, but also for having higher default vehicle kilometers comparatively. Finally, the Volvo paper showed a smaller gap between its ICEs and battery electric vehicle equivalents, likely due to it having the lowest vehicle kilometers assumed at 200,000. And it also had no assumptions, and it was very explicit on this, on decreasing grid intensities over the vehicle lifetime. It was also the only study to use internal data, own manufacturing data,